All right, then. Let's go to hour number two. I am Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Adam Hawk just told me that his dad said, who was that guest? Who was that author? I'm going to get all of his books. You should. Ryan Holiday is a brilliant, brilliant young author. And I read all of his stuff. Really, really good. 1-800-636-8686. Justin Tuck joins me at 40 past. Dak Prescott, top of the hour. My man Rich Ackerman, even promoting that during his update. Good job, Rich. Good looking out. Appreciate you, Richard. Good job. Good job, Richard. This email reads, Dear Van Smack, unwore my wife seeing Jimmy G and suddenly caring about the game. First, there was Tom Brady, and now this guy. Damn. Signed, Casey, New Hampshire. Wore me hitting the weights hard tonight. Hey, Casey, don't waste your time. It's not going to matter. Unless there's a press for your face. Is there a face press? There is no machine for your face, bro. Don't waste your time. Who are you married to? Salty Sarah? Sarah was going on yesterday about Jimmy G. What's the exact email? What's the difference between Jimmy G and Tom Brady? Nothing. They're both hot as hell. One, and then she wore everything coming out of New England winning. All right, once again, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. I read your tweets on the air. I retweet the best ones. I've got over 1 million followers. Therefore, if I retweet your tweet, there's a chance that over 1 million people will see it. You should tweet at Jim Rome. Or if you want, go old school and just shoot me an email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So at this time of year, there is so much happening. It's a great time in sports. Great part of the calendar. NFL, college football, MLB playoffs, the NHL regular season. There's so many things I could be talking about right now. So many things, in fact, that I thought that I would be talking about right now. As an example, Adam Gase. In fact, I said yesterday I wanted to get to how weird this guy is, but there's too much going on Monday. I will get to weird Adam Gase on Tuesday, but I'm not. I also thought that I would get to Bruce Allen saying truly ridiculous things after firing Jay Gruden. Things like this.
2 decades without much playoff success, without much on-field success. How would you describe the culture surrounding this football team?
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
I mean, I could do 3 segments alone on Bruce Allen claiming that, quote, the culture is actually damn good.
It's actually damn good.
The guy looked into a camera and he said that. He said that into a hot microphone. He said that in public. He went on record with that. He said the culture of the Redskins is actually damn good. Because a statement like that's actually a damn joke. That's a damn horrible take. You know what that is? That's a damn lie. Straight up. And I was going to get into that.
You're a liar.
He's not a felon, but he is a liar. If you're saying that the culture is damn good with the Redskins, you're a damn liar.
It's actually damn good.
It's a damn horrible take.
You're a liar.
But not a felon, just a liar. So I was going to get into that. I thought maybe I'd break down some of the ridiculous dunks from Zion last night. But then sometimes something else comes along. Something happens that simply cannot be ignored. Something so awesome, it jumps over everything else. Even Bruce Allen lying or Zion throwing down. I mean, a topic that just transcends. And that topic, in this case, is a dude. A complete badass, an awesome dude. And that dude is New York Nick, Marcus Morris. If you've seen the highlights from last night, you know where I'm going with this. If you have not, get ready for some awesome. Prepare to be awed. Now, a few days back, Morris announced his intentions for the Knicks and the coming season.
Old school Knicks. You know, protect, protect the garden. My biggest thing is no one's coming in there and disrespecting us.
I like that. Old school Knicks. Protect the garden. My biggest thing is no one's coming in there and disrespecting us. All right, so what do you think when you hear that? When somebody says old school Knicks, nobody is coming in and disrespecting us. Old school Knicks, nobody is disrespecting us. Nobody is coming into our house and not showing respect. What do you think? Man, you think Oakley, Mason, the enforcers, the Knick enforcers, even Pat Ewing. That's what I think. So when I see a guy like that say that, that pumps me up. But like I always say, don't just talk about it, be about it. Well, last night against Washington, Marcus Morris was all about it. Now, let me preface this by saying a couple of things. Number one, it is preseason. Number two, it is preseason. Number three, it's not just the preseason, though, when it's the Wizards and the Knicks hooking up, because you know it's going to get spicy. You know sparks are going to fly. Remember last year, his brother, Markieff Morris, was ejected after getting into it with Nick Mitchell Robinson. Then last night, it was Nick, Marcus Morris, and Wizard Justin Anderson. Go ahead. And I've never meant it more than I do right now, but roll it.
The pace, he said, of course, this is hard on RJ because he's going against field, but they like what they see so far.
All right, Rebecca, Marcus Morris and Justin Anderson get into a verbal exchange. When Anderson got up into Morris's face, he swung his elbow to trying to clear some space. Anderson took exception, and then they called a foul on Morris. That's his fourth foul in 19 minutes.
Yeah, listen, Justin Anderson tries to get under your skin.
That was close to.
That was close to.
All right, listen, these guys are not doing it justice. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw that. If you're not, you want to get to your phone or get to your lapper or get to your desktop and dial that up. That video is amazing. So you've got Anderson, who's just right up in Morris's face, getting up on him, playing defense hard. So Morris swings his elbow to clear out some space or looking to clock Anderson in the head. Swung that elbow with bad intentions, all right? So then you see Anderson look over to the ref as if to say, did you see that? Are you going to just allow that? Can dude just do that? He looks over at the ref, like, what are you going to do about that? And before Anderson can even get a response from the official, Morris then drops the hammer and smashes Anderson in the head with the rock. Bonk! Again, the craziest thing is, after he swings the elbow with bad intentions, Anderson is looking to the ref like, yo, did you see that? The hell is that? But as he looks over there for a response, which he does not get, Morris tomahawks the ball into Anderson's forehead. Just smashed him right on the head with the ball. One grown-ass man bonking another grown-ass man in the head with a ball in the middle of the game. I've watched that clip roughly 100 times. And if you're a gambling person, I'm going to set the over-under at about 5,000. And I have to take the over. Every time I watch that clip, it makes me laugh out loud. Every single time. The more I watch that clip, the better it gets. I'll go to break and I'll watch it again. I can't get enough of that play. That might be the best play ever, at least in the NBA. So forget about LeBron's chase down block. Forget about MJ switching hands against the Lakers. Forget about Dr. J going baseline. Marcus Morris bonking Justin Anderson in a preseason game and getting ejected is jaw-dropping. And he didn't just get ejected for it. The ejection to me is not enough. I'd put that guy in the Hall of Fame for that move. I would rip Larry O's name off the championship trophy, no disrespect. I would take the Larry O's name off that trophy and put Marcus M's name on it. But he didn't just get ejected. Not at all. It got better. Let me read the following sentence from the New York Post. Quote, Morris fist bumped a Knicks fan on his way out wore a smile on his face throughout his long walk to the locker room. End quote. See, it's just getting better. My man's fist bumping a fan after face bumping an opponent. Hang a banner up in the rafters for that guy in that move. It's a hell of a lot more impressive than that Billy Joel banner. So what led up to that? What inspires an adult, a grown-ass man, to first try to put an opponent to sleep with an elbow and then smash him in the head with a basketball? Morris did not want to go into details, but he did say this.
At the end of the day, you know, you never want to get thrown out of a game. You know, there's different ways to go about, you know, different things and setting tone. It's preseason, so, you know, something to learn from. Things happen and escalated.
Things happen. It did escalate. But let's not sleep on the fact that Morris was having a hell of a game, all right? He was not looking for a way out. He had 17 points in the first half. Then he got tossed right after the start of the second half for bonking another dude in the head. Quote, "If that was the regular season, I wouldn't have done that. My team needs me. I've got to be smart, set a better example. But like I said in the beginning, we're not taking any bleep. So it is what it is." End quote. And what it is Marcus Morris doing the kind of thing that he and his brother always do. And that's awesome. Bradley Beal of the Wizards played with Markieff and he said, quote, "You can't be surprised with nothing the Twins do. They play hard and they compete and they're going to talk their fair share of trash. Whatever happened is between him and J.A. But you can expect that from the Twins. Crazy in the preseason, though." That's what makes it so incredible. It is crazy in the preseason. But at the same time, it's not, because it's so on brand for Marcus. It's on brand for the Twins. Even his own coach knows that. David Fizdale said, quote, "That's Marcus Morris. Our team will embody his spirit. Obviously, he understands it can't be to the detriment of us." He understands that. He didn't want to hurt the kid. He just told me, "I shouldn't have made that play." At the same time, he does have an edge to him, and we want to keep that edge. End quote. Listen, nobody got hurt. That was not to the detriment of anybody. He was sending a message. Or as one unnamed teammate put it, quote, "It's bully season." Hell yes, it is. It is bully season. I love it. Better yet, it's bonk season. If you haven't seen that video, check it out. Because to me, Morris is the best thing to happen to the Knicks since, I mean, pretty much ever. I haven't been this fired up to watch the Knicks since John Starks was elevating and throwing down with his offhand on the baseline on 45 and letting him hear about it. And if this is what Morris brings to it in the preseason, I cannot wait to see this guy's act in the regular season. Bro, don't ever, ever change. And make sure your twin bro never, ever changes. Because that's exactly what the association needs. More twins doing more things like that. And doing it in New York. Again, he swung his elbow on a guy who had the audacity to get up in his face and actually play hard defense in the preseason. Morris wasn't having that. So he swung an elbow at him, missed, and then when the guy cried about it to the ref, he bonked him on the head with the ball. Such a great move. Such an amazing move. I challenge you to watch that and not laugh. Man, I'm suddenly very interested in the Knicks. I need to see that during a regular season game. I would pay such good money to see that in a regular season game. That's a great move. I need to see more of that. If you're a young baller in the NBA, you should incorporate that into your game. Like, I don't want to hear about James Harden and his one-legged shot. I want to see more guys bonking other guys with the ball in their head for trying to play defense. I mean, don't you come into our house and play defense on me, or you'll get this. Bonk. Justin Tuck coming up later on in the hour. Dak Prescott, top of the hour. when we come back. Cody Parkey got himself a gig. And last night's action in Major League Baseball. Talk about spice. A lot of good stuff last night. All that still ahead. Don't go anywhere, and phone lines are open.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in.
All right, so once again, let me remind you, if you want to kind of flex a little bit or get some reps in, you're not ready to call this show, I've got a way for you to practice. Call the hotline number for our podcast, and that's a good way for you to get some reps. Put this number in your phone. It's a direct dial to us, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. How do you know the Redskins are one of the worst organizations in any sport? When one of their executives says, quote, we have a damn good culture. When they have one of the worst cultures anywhere. We have a damn good culture.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
It's actually not, Bruce. And I don't think we need to be inside the facility to know that it's not a damn good culture. Look at your record. Look at how many coaches you've gone through. Look at what you've done since you've been there. Look at what it's been since he owned it. Dan Snyder. It's the opposite of a damn good culture. That is a damn lie. How do you stand up in front of the world and say that?
It's actually here? Good.
Oh, us? Oh, actually, it's a damn good culture. Really, then why does your best player want nothing to do with you? Why won't your best player play? You know why? Because it's a damn horrible culture. Romy, bonking somebody on the head is absolutely hilarious. Regards, Marcus Morris getting down on all fours behind an opposing player and having a teammate push that player in the chest. Geoff and Lincoln. Wore Marcus Morris putting a kick me sign on James Dolan's back. That's actually pretty funny. I've always thought that was funny. I thought that was funny when I was a kid, and then I thought that was funny when I was a teenager, and I would think that was really funny if a couple of pro athletes did that. Where if you get down on all fours behind another, and this guy gets in front of you, and not only pushes you, but pushes you really hard in the chest into a pool. Listen, I did my best to try to paint the picture the way that I do. Because the challenge is, I do a radio program, which is Theater of the Mind. But the radio program is a TV show as well. It's simulcast on CBS Sports Network. So some of you do watch this on TV. If you're not, and I'm cognizant of that fact, I know that not all of you are watching and a large number of you are listening. So I try to paint that picture. It does not do it justice. You have to see the video. It's hilarious. Him bonking Anderson on the head with the ball hard is rich. It's amazing. 1-800-636-8686. 49ers D-line was as good as advertised. That front four gets a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And knowing that the Browns do not do a good job of protecting Baker Mayfield, you knew it was going to be an issue, and it was. This email says, hey, Jim, this is a big bonk house. Signed, that drunk skank on the Gronk cruise.
I'm trying to get laid.
You're trying to get laid?
Yeah.
So why are you on the Gronk cruise?
To sleep with Gronk.
But you understand that's tough. That's going to be tough.
It might be tough because there's like way hotter chicks than me, but I'm hoping I'm a little bit more freaky than them.
Wow. Mitch from Buffalo sent that. Mitch from Buffalo, and he writes, where content is king. Bonk, he writes, bonk the Gronk. The Gronk party cruise skank. That content is not king, Mitch. Not in Buffalo. Certainly not here in Southern California. Not on a nationally syndicated radio program like this.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's not what I'm talking about, Mitch. Then this guy writes, dear Stevie Wonder, Faker. Son, the rest of the world.
Faker.
Lee in Vancouver. One more time. Why would that guy fake being blind?
Faker.
For run? For Faker. Attention? Every day of his life. Every day, all day. He's a brilliant musician. He doesn't need to fake being blind, Lee.
Faker.
I understand that a lot of you are going to be fascinated by conspiracy theories, and there's always going to be truthers. The Stevie Wonder truthers are the most embarrassing group in the lot, though. Yeah, I know, clones. It's very superstitious to even talk about. Even alleging that he's not really blind is very superstitious, I know. You think the guy who composed that song needs to fake being blind? I mean, that song alone probably made the guy a multimillionaire. Why would he have to fake being blind? That's not enough. It's not enough to be universally respected as a musician, lyricist, presence. No, that's not enough. I need something else. What could I do? What could I do to get people to talk about me and come and see me and pay me? I know. I'll front like I'm blind. I'll get some really dark glasses, a big cane, maybe a dog, and I'll just fake it. Stupid take. Hey, Rome, we have a damn good culture. Sincerely, juggalos and couples that wrestle to Limp Bizkit. What? What, DiMaggio? You haven't gotten down to that? Dude, who doesn't love the Insane Clown Posse? What's wrong with juggalos and couples that wrestle to the biscuit? You're going to come up here and tell me you've never gotten down to that. Sounds like you don't get any, DiMaggio. All right, anyway, I'd like to go back to my show if you don't mind. And as part of that show, Justin Tuck is going to join us next. In fact, we'll go back to back. Justin Tuck and then Dak Prescott, top of the hour. Which means next hour, we are talking Major League Baseball. Yesterday was a huge day for MLB elimination games. And it did get pretty spicy. That's all coming up. Justin Tuck next. But first, here is a sports update.
And CBS Sports Radio.
You're efforting Justin Tuck. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks, the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack and it satisfies. Make sure you ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef? Got Dak Prescott scheduled for the top of hour number three, so that's about 25 minutes out. Justin Tuck is scheduled for right now. That's about 10 seconds out, if all goes to plan. In the meantime, I do have open phones. 1-800-636-8686. A lot of action around Major League Baseball last night in the postseason. Things heating up, getting personal, getting contentious. And I think there was at least one or two different violations of the so-called code. And if you do it on the big stage and you do it in the postseason, it's even worse. At Back After This tweets, Jim, getting bonked on the head is no laughing matter. Regards, Larry, Curly, and Shemp. Like I said, that was one grown-ass man bonking another on the head. Hey, Rome, Nick Bosa roasted Baker so hard. That invisible flag plant is the stuff of legend. Epic burn. Regards, up high, down low, too slow. It's actually not true. That was a good burn last night with the flag. As promised, we're joined right now by a two-time Super Bowl champ, a member of the Giants' Ring of Honor, the only player in NFL history with multiple sacks in multiple Super Bowls. For his career, 66.5 sacks, 510 tackles, 22 forced fumbles. He was the 74th pick overall in 2005 out of Notre Dame. He is the co-founder of Tuck's Rush for Literacy, and he appears today courtesy of the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. Justin Tuck is my guest. Justin, good to have you back. How are you?
What's going on, Jim? How's everything?
Good, good, man. Good to talk to you, Justin. Nice to have you back. Let me start with your Giants really quickly. They've had some energy and some buzz over the last few weeks. Now they've got a Thursday night game against the Patriots. How are you feeling about your team right about now?
I think they're pretty much on par with what I expected from the season. You know, obviously, like you said, we've got a little energy and a little buzz, given the fact that we might have found our quarterback for the future. Danny Dimes looks promising. I think as we continue to rebuild this thing, you know, I think something that is a positive is that his play and the fact that I feel as though we have the number one running back in the league. So there's pieces of the puzzle as far as what the future looks like, but we're not there yet. And obviously, you know, the schedule's not going to get any easier, as you mentioned. We got New England on Thursday up there, and that's going to be, I mean, that's a tall task. But I do like what I've seen from them as far as, you know, putting the pieces together for what the future may look like.
Justin Tuck is joining us. So at the same time, as hyped as everybody is on Jones, a lot of people have been taking their shots at Eli Manning. As somebody who played with him for a long time, what is your reaction when you hear that?
Listen, everyone knows how I feel about Eli, and I get it. He hasn't played up to his caliber or what people came to be accustomed of his play the last couple of years. And you know, it is what it is, right? He's been the face of that franchise for 15 plus years. What he's been able to accomplish in this league, I think, just about any of us would love to switch seats with him. So yeah, people are taking their shots at him now on his way, you know, out. But you know, what he has cemented for his legacy in this league stands on its own, and I just feel as though he's done it the right way. You know, we all wanted to kind of see Eli go out on his white horse as he ended his career. It doesn't look like he's going to get the opportunity to do that, but I'll trade with him. I would love to have what he's been able to accomplish in this league and stand on that and not really worry about all the other noise coming from people outside of that locker room.
Justin Tuck is joining us. Let me ask you about this. One of your former teammates, David Tollefson, recently tweeted a reaction to Vontaze Burfict that included this note, quote, "I'm a guy that loves the physical part of football. Ask the guys I played with. That being said, Justin Tuck once told me, if we as players don't protect each other, who will? It really changed the way I approached how I played," end quote. So where did your philosophy come from in that regards?
Listen, I've always kind of been a guy that did not like hitting people in my head anyway. If you look at all my helmets all the years I played, they stayed pretty clean. But no one would ever question the fact that I played with toughness and I played with, you know, passion for, you know, being physical. I just feel as though, unfortunately, somewhere down the line, we've misconstrued the message that, you know, the helmet is a weapon. It never was intended to be one. And I'm actually excited with how the NFL has approached this to hopefully take the NFL, the helmet a little bit out of the game. But listen, it's a fine line. We all signed off for what it is in the NFL, and that's to be physical and be a part of a physical sport. But I think there is definitely a fine line for when you use the, you know, this platform to be endangering other people. From a perspective of, we all understand what the research has told us on what the effects are long term of these type of hits on the head and so on and so forth. So I definitely agree with you know, David. We all are physical players, but we also have a responsibility to take care of each other and make sure that we don't do anything that's gonna, you know, directly have that type of long-lasting negative impact on somebody's body. And that comes with it. That comes with the platform. That comes with you signing on that contract. So, yeah, I definitely agree with what he said there.
Justin Tuck is joining us. Listen, I understand that. I really respect that. I agree with you. That said, as a guy who got after the quarterback, and again, at the same time, you're not looking to hurt anybody, but you got after the quarterback, and what do you make of how the game is being officiated right now as it relates to roughing the passer? I mean, do you know what will be flagged and won't be flagged, or are you as confused as everybody else?
I'm confused. I really am. I get what the NFL is trying to do because the NFL plays, I mean, the quarterback plays such a big role in the success of this league. But I just don't understand how as a defensive player, you can expect to do some of the things that they're expecting these players to do when in the mix of some of the biggest people on the football field. I mean, defensive linemen have to toe that line, but while also, you know, doing their job and having 300-pounders either holding you, pushing you, or trying to stop you from doing their job. That's a tough task. And, you know, I get it. I get what the NFL is trying to do, but I just don't think they're going about it the right way. And it almost makes it look like, you know, other players aren't valuable because I haven't seen them make a big play on, you know, defensive linemen being cut at the line of scrimmage and some of the other things in this league that I don't necessarily agree with it either. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad I retired when I did because I probably would have been a player that it fell in the trap of getting fined over some of the hits that I've seen in the league. And it definitely made it tough for people who played my position.
Right. In other words, call it both ways, right? Just call it both
Absolutely.
Ways. Right, so you and I have talked numerous times over the years, not just about football, but about life and life away from the field. You earned your MBA from Wharton, and now you're a VP in private wealth management at Goldman Sachs. What has the journey been like overall for you?
I mean, it's been fun. I think it's been intriguing, and it's been challenging to step out of my comfort zone and do something completely different and a complete 180 from what I, you know, previously was known for. I think, you know, given the fact that I had a platform that was the NFL and the New York Giants and Oakland Raiders, it allowed me to meet a lot of interesting people. It allowed me to be in a lot of different, you know, interesting conversations, and I think that's something of the things that have pushed me to go the route that I have, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Right now, you're working with the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. If we were to go back to your time at Notre Dame, you suffered a serious knee injury at the end of your junior season. What was your mental and physical approach as you came back from that injury?
Yeah, I think mentally it was something that I had never experienced before. I'd never been hurt. I never had the misfortune of missing games. All through high school and up until that point in my career at Notre Dame, I had been on the football field. So that little stint where I had with the injury and not being able to be on the field was something I had never been used to. And the experience of that is something that I'm trying to lend that experience to these kids that have went through it. I had a knee injury that set me out for all year. I mean, all the offseason, and I didn't handle that the right way, I don't think, now looking back on it. So I'm hopeful that, you know, the kids that we're spotlighting with the Mayo Clinic, I can be a sounding board to them on some of the things that they're dealing with, and hopefully that they don't make the same mistakes as I did.
Right, so finish that thought. What exactly is the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award? What's it about? Who does it honor?
Yes, it's an award that basically is highlighting kids who, similar to me, have had to deal with adversities through injuries or illness and are trying to make the comeback. To be the previous athlete or athletes that they were before that injury. And basically what we're just doing is highlighting that, you know, even when you do have these type of adversities, you know, some of the strongest people that I've played with are kids who dealt with this, and the ship don't always sail the way you expect it to. It's a lot of things that go on in this sport where, you know, you got to midstream adjust. So we're honoring 30 players throughout 30 college football players throughout the season, and that'll all culminate in at the this year's Fiesta Bowl, where we'll have three of our nominees there, and we'll have a winner picked at the Fiesta Bowl this year.
Excellent, Justin Tuck, my guest. Before I let you go, you're a huge Yankee fan. How does the team look to you right now after sweeping the Twins?
I mean, they look awesome. I'm a little afraid is not the right word. I'm I see Houston in our forefront, and the pitching that Houston has is going to be tough. But listen, if we keep, you know, having at bats like we've had in against Minnesota, against Houston, I see no reason why we shouldn't come out of that one as well. But it's going to be tough, and Houston is obviously the team that has been circled on every Yankee fan's calendar when this season started. So we'll get our shot at it.
It looks like it's going to be a collision course between those two. Listen, one last thought. There's a Notre Dame player that I really like and respect. I know you do too. Julian Love. He was a finalist for the Jim Thorpe Award when he was at Notre Dame. He got drafted by the Giants in the fourth round. Over the summer, he said, quote, "It's hard to go to Notre Dame and not know Justin Tuck. He was such a force in the community and dorm life. He was always around the team. And when you see he's the biggest guy there, he's the guy who's done it all on and off the field." So my question for you is, how much pride is there for you in knowing that you've left that kind of legacy at Notre Dame and that you still inspire guys to this day at Notre Dame?
I mean, that's big, because I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of guys that I get to talk to, their focus is solely on being an athlete. And that's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I just knew that given the platform I had, you know, given the people I had around me and the quote-unquote luck and blessings I had to play at a place like Notre Dame and make it there and then make it here in New York City, I definitely wanted to utilize that platform to benefit those that was coming behind me in hopes to be, you know, a sounding board or some type of lending advice or whatever you want to call it to those who was trying to do the same things I did. So to hear Julian say that, it means that I must be doing something right, but also it encourages me to continue to do what I'm doing because people are taking notice and it's being beneficial to, you know, other people, which, you know, if you know anything about me, that's what I'm all about.
I know that's exactly what you're all about. He is a two-time Super Bowl champ as well, a member of the Giants Ring of Honor, the co-founder of Tuck's Rush for Literacy, and today appeared courtesy of the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. Justin, good to get caught up, man. I appreciate it so much. Always good to have you on the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure, man. Anytime.
You too. Be good. Justin Tuck, like, when I talk to him like that, I feel like just giving the man money. I just want to give him my money because I trust him. I like him. I respect him. I trust him. I love his background. I love what he's made of his life. I just like, hey, Justin, can you invest this money for me? Because that's what he does. He's a vice president in private wealth management at Goldman Sachs. Like, I want to hang up the phone and say, hey, man, can we have lunch? Can we talk this over? I'm so impressed with him. I've always been so impressed with the way he handled himself on the field, in the locker room, off the field, at college, what he's done with his life since he played in the NFL. An MBA from Wharton, is that any good? And went to Notre Dame. And is a two-time Super Bowl champ and a member of the Giants Ring of Honor. Love it. All right, so we'll come back with hour number three, and we are scheduled to have a conversation with Dak Prescott at the top of the hour. After that, we got to talk some baseball. Have to talk baseball. All of that still ahead, and your phone calls. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Dak Prescott is next.